In a region as diverse as ours, we need to learn to connect and to depend on one another. The eye cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. We need to work together. We want to work together so that Christ can use our differences, and they are many, so that Christ can use our differences for his purposes, for maturing the church so that it resembles Christ, so that Christ can use our differences as a witness, as a testimony to his love that transcends all of our cultures and all of our differences. As Eurasia region, as Eurasian people, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we want to prioritize, we want to give ourselves to an interconnectedness that comes from Christ. We don't want to be like this, do we? Okay, we do that again. No. We don't want to be like this, do we? No. But we do want to be like this. That's not good enough. We do want to be like this. Yes. You should never let your Bible on your chair when you're preaching. When our three children were growing up, I discovered that being a father had its complexities. I would be in my study, trying to study and read, and I would hear something downstairs between one of our three children and my wife. Something like, well, everyone in my class can play more than 4 hours of this computer game. Why can't I? And then, of course, my wife would say some very wise things, some motherly things, and I would hear the argument going back and forth, and then it would become quiet. And after a while, I discovered what would happen next. There would be someone coming up the stairs to my study, and they would ask me basically this question, Dad or Arthur, where do you stand? And of course, whether it was Anna Marie or whether it was one of the children, they knew with whomever I would side that that would tip the balance. Where do you stand? We live in a region that is extremely diverse, but also extremely conflict-ridden. I could just say names. East Ukraine, Syria, Iraq, the Balkan, India. In each of these conflicts, people and people groups and even whole countries are standing in opposition of one another. And then we read 2 Corinthians 5, that we are called to be ambassadors for Christ. And the question arises, before we can be ambassadors for Christ, the question arises, Lord, where do you stand in this? And Scripture puts it very clearly. God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ. In all our conflicts, in all our struggles, in all our disagreements, in all the things that make our region so very, very complicated and sometimes draining to live in, God has taken His stand. He says, He showed, He acted. I am reconciling the world in my Son Jesus Christ. I come down there where there is a place where relationships can be mended, where peace can be restored, where evil can be forgiven, where people can once again embrace one another. That is where God is coming down. That's where God is standing in our region. I want you to hear this right. Reconciliation is God's answer to our world's need. But the question is, how deep is our need? How deep do we feel our need? I do not know whether it has happened, but like we were a few days early here in this beautiful place. And I don't know whether they will do it now, but then the waiters would come to our table and they would serve us. Now, just for a moment, if we replace the word reconciliation for water, are you with me? We replace the word reconciliation for water. Now, just have this picture. The waiter is coming to your table and says, "Sir, ma'am, what would you like today? Coke? Sprite? Orange? Or water?" Well, in that context, I probably say, "Well, make it a Coke Light." I would bypass the water. It like water in that context, it would be like an easy word, a shallow word, one of the many options. Choose that. But what if you've been making a long journey through a country where the sun is shining upon you, and you have run out of water several hours ago, and you are weary, you are tired, you are thirsty? Now what if a brother or sister, a fellow Nazarene, would come to you and say, "Water?" That makes it completely different. And you know what? We can make the word reconciliation a very cheap word, a shallow word. But that's because we don't see our need. The gospel is, the good news is that the Father is reconciling the world through Christ. And that implies that God sees our hostilities, our alienations, our bitterness, our dark thoughts, our dark deeds. Reconciling means that there is a long distance between people. We don't know how to communicate anymore. We don't know what to say, not to God and not to one another. Reconciling and reconciliation in Christ only tastes like water after many hours of thirst, when we've come to the place that we admit that we don't want to forgive. and that we feel quite comfortable in listing our grievances and our hurts, very much like the older brother. Did you hear it? Can you hear the older brother within yourself saying to the Father, saying even to your Heavenly Father, this son of yours? Can you feel the distance that he's putting between him and his brother? He is cutting off that brother. My fellow Nazarenes, my brothers and sisters, when God says, I am reconciling the world to myself in Christ, it's not a shallow word. God is plunging right into the deepest of our needs, of our ugly conflicts, of everything like that makes us want to cut off people, treat them as less than human. He's plunging right into the depths of our need that we no longer want to communicate with God because we feel like we can do without him. And at that point, the Word of God is saying, God chose to reconcile the world through his Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father understands much better than any of us and than any of our countrymen what is the matter with us. He's saying to this older brother, and he's saying to us about this younger brother, this younger son. He was dead. He was lost. And he draws him right in and he says, this brother of yours is alive again, is found again, is reconciled. Reconciliation in Christ is only good news, is only a healing word, is only a hopeful word. When we see that God in Christ steps right into our alienation and our estrangement, into our hell, to bring us back together. Now, how did Christ reconcile? How did the Father bring together his alienated creation, and how does he bring us together time and time again? There's an evangelism program, and it has a fascinating title. Just Walk Across the Room. I like that title. I don't know the program, but I like the title. Just Walk Across the Room. I do not know about you, but there are times when the distance between me and the first row feels like 20,000 miles. And you know what? When we simply watch Jesus, before we even hear him speak, but when we watch our Lord, we see him just walk across the room. He just reaches out. He blesses children. He touches lepers. He even speaks to women. He just walked across the room. We can make reconciliation very, very complicated, but it starts as simply as walking across the room. Like traveling through the region, Anna Marie and I have started to feel that we should give more. So all your American brothers and sisters,
The grace that God has given to you, it's rubbing off, at least on us. We are becoming more generous. Well, for Dutch people, that is saying something. And I started to read scripture afresh when Jesus is saying, well, if you lend some money to someone, don't expect him to repay. It's nice if he repays, but if he doesn't, don't let it become an obstacle. And when you have two jackets, well, why not give one away? Walk across the room. It's actually fun to give jackets away. Can you follow our Lord by walking across the room, even during this conference? I know you don't speak Russian. I don't know you don't speak Arabic. I know you don't speak Dutch. But just walk across the room. And if you walk here, walk across the room at home. Now there is a next step. And Paul says, God was reconciling, not counting. I'm switching again. Not counting the people's sins. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. You know what? There is no reconciliation without genuine, deep forgiveness. And somehow I need to repeat to myself that forgiveness is costly. If you visit my home and you break something, like one of our beautiful chairs, and if I say to you, don't worry about it. You say, oh no, but I've broken your chair, and I know you Dutch people like how you love your chairs. Let me pay. I mean, I feel bad about this. And I say, no, please, no. Don't worry about it. I forgive you. I know, that's how low our spirituality is in the Netherlands. We need to forgive breaking chairs. I forgive you. Well, you go and you leave free of charge, right? But there is someone who pays. Who pays? I'm asking a question. Who pays? I am paying. And when God forgives, and when we forgive, it's a costly thing because someone pays. And God says, I pay. I forgive you, but I pay. He made him who had no sin to be sin for us. There is a mystery that God gave up the right on payment, on retribution, and took it upon himself in Christ. God wanted to be reconciled with his world. And he walked across the room in his son Jesus Christ, and he paid the price himself so that he could forgive. But that's not, I think, full reconciliation. It never fails to move me when I hear or when I read this story about this son that was lost. It says there that the father saw his son and that he ran to him, that he was filled with compassion, and that he threw his arms around him and kissed him. See, reconciliation is not complete until you throw your arms around that other person and kiss him and say, my son. Can we just stand with that father for a moment? You see, no. In our minds. Like the father I mean, he's working on his farm, and the father sees in the distance, he sees his son. He thinks it's his son. And maybe it has gone something like this. Father saying, I must walk across the room. I must, like I, if he needs to come all the way to me, like that's just too far. I will walk across the room. I will make a step towards him. That's good, isn't it? I mean, if I'm a father like that, and I come from there, from my platform to here, I mean, I'm a good father, aren't I? Really? Yes. I'm a good father. Yes. But I can just picture this father thinking, but my son is there. It's a long way off. And I've just walked across the room. Maybe I should do a bit of running. And he is running. He's thinking. Of course, fathers always think. And they have this list in their hearts, in their minds, like, but what has he done with all the money that I've given him? Like, where has he been? Where has he slept? What has he drunk? Whom has he been mingling with? Well, when you think like that, I do a lot of thinking while I'm walking, but when I start running, I can't think too much, and I need to let go of these unforgiving thoughts. And I can just picture this father making himself ready to run. And as he ran, he was saying, I will forgive. I will forgive. I will, whatever his debts are, I will pay them myself. But his son was still a long way off. He couldn't embrace him yet, could he? And so he had to do some more running in order to reach his son and to say, my son. My son. You are back. My brothers and sisters, we live in difficult times. We live in a complicated region. We live in countries where people hate each other with reason. We live in places where people just don't know how they can reach, how they can walk. They have even forgotten how to run, let alone how they can embrace. And God is saying, in Christ, I not only walk to you, I not only run to you, I will move as long and as far as it takes to throw my arms around you, to embrace you, and to kiss you. Being an ambassador for Christ is risky living. Being an ambassador for Christ is dangerous and costly. But being an ambassador for Christ means that in His name, together with the Father, we embrace, we hold, we kiss. Amen. Let us be quiet for a moment. Let us pray in our hearts. Maybe we need some deeper reconciliation. Maybe we need more embrace. Maybe we need to surrender and say, Father, if that's where you stand, I want to stand with you. Let us be quiet for a moment and pray. I would like to give you an opportunity to respond. And if the Lord has spoken to you in such a way that you know what your next step could be and should be, I want to ask you that you stand and say, I am standing with a reconciling God who gave his beloved son in order to embrace a needy and sinful people. And I'm with him, but I'm also with them, with those needy, sinful people. If you would like to respond to the word of God, I would invite you to stand and we will pray together. The Lord knows your heart, and he knows what is keeping you from embracing, from running, from walking. Heavenly Father, it is impossible for us to be ambassadors for Christ unless, Lord, there is this deep yielding, this acknowledging, Lord, that our hearts and lives need to be put right, that you need to embrace us, and in embracing, Lord, cleanse us with your Spirit. And Lord, in yielding, Lord, we pray that you would bring this peace in us that transcends all understanding. This peace, which is Christ, has broken down the walls of hostility. And Lord, as you fill us with your Spirit, as we let go of everything that holds us back, Lord, we do come to a place where you allow us to stand with you. And Lord, to be like you, like our Heavenly Father. And Lord, we pray, would you take from our hands and from our hearts what is holding us back? And would you set us truly free in your Son, Jesus Christ? Release us. Send us out. Lord, send us out as a holy and joyful people. For your glory. For the sake of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated.
يباركك الرب ويحرسك. يضيء الرب بوجهه عليك ويرحمك. يرفع الرب وجهه عليك ويمنحك سلاما. آمين.